South African National Roads Agency, the South African Bureau of Standards, the Agriman South Africa, Ugu District Municipality, and the Department of Transport and Department of Public Works. We have an apology from Ugu District Municipality. They are here. They are delayed at the hotel checking out, so they will be joining us. We would like to thank you, to thank all of you for availing yourselves to this meeting. We have invited you because we feel that you are important stakeholders in assisting us to deal with the challenges that we are faced with around the road infrastructure maintenance. We are going to give a background as to why we are having this meeting and why we have invited you. We have a situation in South Africa of a road infrastructure that is degrading very fast. And we raised this issue in the budget debate of the Department of Transport in 2009 as a portfolio committee, that we were concerned by the fact that the road infrastructure is degraded. We have too many potholes. And we were also concerned by the fact that the government is losing a lot of money in terms of claims as a result of accidents. We had one case in where the government had to pay more than 500 million as a result of an accident that was caused by a pothole. We also have an incident in KwaZulu-Natal where a victim of a road accident had to have her arm amputated as a result of a road accident. And we feel that the money that the government is spending settling the claims is the money that is not supposed to be used doing that, particularly on accidents that are caused by the standards of our roads. And we think that that money would be better utilize if it was to be used providing the infrastructure and also maintaining the existing adequate infrastructure, upgrading the inadequate infrastructure, and also providing infrastructure where it doesn't exist. We have also observed, because we also come from communities, we don't sleep here in Parliament. We go back to our communities and we see what is happening there. We feel that even the money that has been allocated by government for road maintenance has not been adequately utilized. In this sense, a pothole would be repaired today, and in 2 weeks' time, that pothole is open again. That to us then reflects that it's either there are no standards for materials and technology that are being applied, or there is no enforcement of the existing standards. And as a result, there are no strict when a tender is going out, it's either there would be no mention of adherence to standards, and also use of the material that is approved by the entities that South Africa has put in place to approve standards in terms of South Africa. Or if the tender document specifies that those standards need to be adhered to, then maybe there is no mechanism of checking that that is happening. And we want to close that loop so that we can hold, we can facilitate a situation where those that are service providers and do dodgy work are held responsible. Maybe in a way of effecting penalties, or also maybe a combination of penalties and inspection. We feel that a government department in all spheres also have to be hands-on in terms of ensuring that we get value for money. They don't just sign the invoices, but they go to the site to check whether we got quality work. And also they monitor the performance of a pothole after it has been repaired, so that we don't find the situation of potholes that are repaired today and then in 2 weeks' time they are open again. But we also want to bring closer the issue of road maintenance to job creation and skills development in the country, so that we are able to produce new players in the road construction field, but new players that are adequately trained and have got the skills that are required in order to perform those services. But the third element is that road construction, road maintenance, and products that are used are science and technology driven, and we would want an active involvement of structures in South Africa that are charged with the responsibility of developing new technology, so that we also move. The fourth element is that as portfolio committees, we undertake study tours to other countries to learn about how they do this. And when we arrive there, we would would be taken through a situation where a country would say, on such and such a year, we didn't know how to deal with this problem. And we conducted the research and identified countries that were doing well. We developed a working relationship with that country for purposes of learning how they do it and also how they would contribute in developing our own workforce and our own technology. We would send our people to go and learn, but at the same time we would develop our own training systems so that we then develop a human resource within our country, and also we develop technology within our country. And then they would say, our model is based on the fact that we now have our own institutions of education that are training people in the skills that we require, the scarce skills. We also have our own technology that is approved by our own country, which we can also sell to other countries. And we would want South Africa to also do that. We can't be going to other countries to learn and only just buy those models and adopt those models and not develop our own model. We want a situation where if there is a working model in South Africa that has been developed maybe by a smaller municipality, let us look at that and find ways of whether there is a need for improving that model and develop it to a level where it becomes a model of the country so that other people can also come and learn from us. We don't always go out to learn and then do not do anything to develop our own technology and our own model. And we feel that, again, the entities that we have invited today have a role to play in ensuring that we get to that level. But then the last thing is that road maintenance also happens at local government level, where there is a shortage of skills, particularly engineering skills. And we think that if we were to develop a model and maybe a template, that would then make it easier for the local government sphere where the skills are scarce, for them to just take this and then implement it because it has been developed, it's an approved a model, instead of thinking that the municipalities that are more than 280 would each one of them develop its own model and do a research and find the science and technology people to assist them, and also the and find the materials that are of good standards. We should be assisting them to say to understand that there is material that is of South African Bureau of Standards. And I am saying this because I also served as a deputy mayor in a district municipality that was receiving bad publicity as a result of many potholes. model that will be presented today of Ugu District Municipality is a model that I spearheaded to develop. We are not saying it is a model that is better than other models, but we are saying it is a model that needs to be looked at. We have looked at it as a portfolio committee. It's a model that combines the road maintenance and job creation and cooperative development and poverty reduction. And we think that it's a model that can be modified and replicated. Then the last thing that we also want to look at is the development of a value chain. When you are maintaining the road and repairing a pothole, if you look at that from a job creation perspective and a skills development, you then have to look at the value chain. What are the materials that are used to repair a pothole, and what is the equipment that is used, and where do you then source that, and what opportunities around job creation could be created, starting from the production of the material that is being used, and how you relate that, the group that is involved production and the group that is doing road maintenance. Bearing in mind that in the past, there were small asphalt plants in the municipalities, that some of them are no longer functional. And how do we then relate to that in terms of local job creation and also in terms of creating a value chain, as well as the people that are manufacturing, are developing the chemicals that are used to mix with the stones and all the things that are used when you close the pothole, the asphalt. And also the recycling that we are asked to get into. What happens to the materials that are scrapped when the road is being rehabilitated? That the old asphalt that was is being scrapped. Is there a way of recycling that? And all that can come from the group that is more informed on issues of science and technology. So that in job creation, we don't only look for investment that is still to come. We also look at how best can we utilize the money that is there to make it produce more jobs. And also the materials that are there to use them in such a way that we don't spend a lot of money producing new materials when there is material that can be recycled and create local jobs. So it is in that context that we have invited all of you to come here. And we also want to say that the 6.5 billion that has been made available for road maintenance, this portfolio committee fought hard to ensure that all both the Department of Transport and Treasury buy into the issue of setting and putting money in the road maintenance fund. And we would want to see value for money in relation to that fund. We wouldn't want to see a situation where there is no change in the manner in which road maintenance and particularly the potholes repairs has been handled in the past. And then the last thing is that of linking the pothole repair to the road maintenance that prevents a pothole from occurring. The maintenance of the stormwater pipes and also the manner in which we lay our roads so that we direct the water to go into the drainage system instead of staying on the road and then penetrating the road infrastructure and then resulting with the potholes. We want to be assisted also to say, how do we arrive at a situation where we would prevent potholes from occurring, but do the road maintenance that assists us not to have potholes. So that's why we have invited you to come here. And then the Department of Transport and the Department of Public Works are the departments that are involved now in the actual work. And we would want to see a link between those that are involved in terms of setting the standards and understanding the technologies and the materials, the chemicals that are being used. To say that we are at the same wavelength, and then we move to say, how do we then ensure that the road maintenance speaks to poverty reduction, skills development, local skills development, and development of new entrants in the field of road construction and engineering, and also how do we further research and develop the science and technology field so that we are even able to move from where we are and begin to compete, and also take advantage of the fact that South Africa has got better potholes than the rest of the African continent. And then see that as an economic development opportunity for the country. So it is within that context that we have then invited all of you. We will first invite the Department of Transport. We don't know how they have arranged both the Department of Transport and the Department of Public Works as the people that are charged with the responsibility of dealing with this problem. They present to us their strategy, their approach, and thereafter we will also have a presentation by Ugu District Municipality, which will then be followed by the people that are involved in science and technology to say, in terms of science and technology, this is what is supposed to be done, these are the standards, and this is what is available in the country, and this this is how we think we should manage all this so that we achieve what we seek to achieve. Thank you. We'll start with the Department of Transport, because the roads belong to the Department of Transport. Even if public works is on the roads, the public works has to do what they are working, but I just want to share something. I'm from Harding. In December, I went home. And as we were driving between the Mount and Harding, I came across a road maintenance activity that was taking place. The truck was marked KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport, and there were two women belong to a contractor or whatever. One of them was on top of the truck, and two were on the road. We were then stopped, and it gave me a good opportunity of observing what was happening. The one who was on top was actually fetching a sand and giving it to the one that is on the road. And the one that was on the road was having a wheelbarrow and other things like this bait. Then she first took sand, and then followed by the stones. And next to the wheelbarrow was a bag of cement. And then the one that was on the road started to mix those things. And then there was a 20-liter container with water. Water was poured to then mix, and then that was then put on the pothole. Then the spade was used to seal. That is the extent to which our roads are being damaged, because by putting that mixture on a road that is a blacktop asphalt, you are actually further damaging the road. You are not even closing the pothole. That is how serious this issue is. But that was not the only observation that I made. I also observed that the road was uneven, because many of the potholes around along that road were actually closed, repaired in that manner. And then the cars were avoiding even the repaired potholes, because there was no bonding between the cement material used and the asphalt, causing more damage even on the tires of the car. So that is the extent to which this problem is. And I guess that that contractor was paid without having an inspector coming out from the Department of Transport to go and look at the quality of work. At a later stage, I found the municipal manager of Umzwabantu, who had already complained about the standards and was not getting any response. So that is how this problem is. Thank you.
Firstly, I would like to tender an apology for Advocate James Mlau. He's the Acting Deputy Director General, Road Transport, Department of Transport. And Joey Molazzi, she's the Acting Chief Director, Infrastructure Network Management, Department of Transport. Okay, I'm Prashant Mohan. contractual specifications. These are standard documents, which we call the general conditions of contracts. This is published by COTO. And then you get the general condition of contracts published by the International Federation of Consulting Engineers. In addition to these specifications, you get the technical specifications. These are the documents that are applicable to the different projects. So you get the COTO specifications, the TRH series of documents, the TMH series of documents, UTG. TRH is technical recommendations for highways. TMH is technical methods for highways. UTG is urban transport guidelines. All these documents that were developed by a team of technical experts and then approved by COTO. And in addition to those documents, you got this DOT documents published by and developed by SANRAL, SABS, CSIR, and other bodies. Then you've got SEDEC documents. The laboratory specifications, these are published in the form of national standards by the South African Bureau of Standards or Standards South Africa. And these focus on materials and test procedures. That's the main focus area. In terms of the institutional arrangements, so the national standards or the custodian for development and maintenance of national standards, that's the function of the South African Bureau of Standards. The custodian of funding for the development and maintenance of road infrastructure, technical norms, guidelines, and manuals. That's the function of the Department of Transport, and it's approved through the COTO structures. Agrimin South Africa, they're responsible for the assessment and certification of non-innovative, non-standardized construction products, systems, materials, components, and processes which are not fully covered by the South African Bureau of Standard or a Code of Practice. In terms of the coordinating structures to develop these standards within the government or the intergovernmental bodies, you've got the Roads Coordinating Body. One of the functions of the RCB is to provide leadership and oversight to specialist technical subcommittees. And these subcommittees are the committees that actually develop or that coordinate the development of these technical standards, which I will go through now. For instance, you've got, this is a very long list of standards, but I won't go through all. You've got road signs and route numbering, you've got construction and maintenance committee, roads material committee, geometric design committee, construction plan committee, infrastructure protection, general structures and bridge loading. So these committees, they focus on their specific areas. So the standards that are applicable for these areas of expertise, these are the committees that develop these standards. Then in the private sector, you've got the Roads Pavement Forum. So the Roads Pavement Forum is a forum that is set up by the private sector. The key sponsor members are the Concrete Cement and Concrete Institute, the CSIR, the Southern African Bitumen Association, Aggregate and Sand Producers Association, South African Ready Mix Association, and the South African Road Federation, and in more recent times, the Society of Asphalt Technology. So this body here is a forum to share and exchange information and technologies and to discuss issues of strategic importance to the road construction sector. So they're also promoting the best practices and research and technology that they are busy with. In terms of the standards, we get the COTO specifications. This is what we know as the Engineer's Bible, the Road Engineer's Bible in South Africa. So there's two important documents. It's the standard specifications for road and bridge works for state road authorities, and then you get the general conditions of contracts for road and bridge works for state road authorities. So these standards were last updated in 1998, and SANRAL are busy looking at different sections of this document, and very soon there'll be an update to these documents. The document on the right-hand side, the general conditions of contract for road and bridge works, the South African Institute of Civil Engineers, they are busy doing some more work to update this document. Once those revisions are ready, then they come back to COTO for approval, and then they'll be republished. In terms of the technical recommendations for highways, these are the documents in addition to the SABS documents. These are specifically for different aspects of road construction and maintenance. So we refer this to the TRH series of documents, technical recommendations for highways. There's 25 documents in total. On the right-hand side, you will see the date there when they were last updated. And later on, I'll talk more about these dates when I come to challenges. I'm not going to go through all these documents. Now, these documents, they are placed on the SANRAL website. Organizations or individuals or companies, they can come to the Department of Transport and they can buy a set of these documents. They just pay for the printing costs only, which is photocopying. Otherwise, they can go into the SANRAL website and they can download these documents. It's free to download these documents. The same applies for the technical methods for highways. They're also housed at the SANRAL website. In addition to the TRH and the TMS documents, you get the Urban Transport Guidelines, and these were developed and used mainly by the metros and municipalities. So these are in addition to the TRH and TMS documents. And then when SANRAL was established, SANRAL started to develop additional documents and update some documents. And these became known as the SANRAL documents. So there's a whole lot of other technical specifications that were developed by SANRAL. So I have a partial list here. Then there's the DOT documents, which have been developed by the Department of Transport. Then the SABS documents, remember earlier on I said these are in the category of lab documents. So there's a whole lot of applicable documents which are listed in this presentation, which is published by the South African Bureau of Standards. And every 5 years, these documents are reaffirmed. Sometimes they are updated before they're reaffirmed, and sometimes they are reaffirmed as it is. So there's a lot of these documents. Then the other documents that are applicable in the environment is the documents that were adopted by the SEDEC, and some documents were published by industry. So this is a list of those documents. Some documents have been recently revised, so they will be submitted for COTO approval. The four of them are TRH-3, Design and Construction for Surfacing Seals, TRH-11, which is for the Guidelines for Transportation of Abnormal Loads, TRH-20, Unsealed Roads, Design, Construction and Maintenance, TRH-21, Hot Mixed Recycled Asphalt. So once these documents are approved by COTO, then they will also be placed onto the SANRAL website. Currently, SANRAL are also busy with processes to update other documents. The Road Traffic Management Corporation, they are updating a document. SABIDA, South African Bitumen Association, they are updating two documents. Ekurhuleni Metro, they are developing a warm mix asphalt design guideline. This is a new document. And the CSIR, they have recently published the pothole repair manual. And currently, there's courses being run all over the country under the auspiciousness of the South African Road Federation as a refresher course. For some, it's a new course on pothole repairs. So the manual is also can be downloaded from the CSIR website. And then the CSIR is doing some research, and very soon they'll publish a manual called Structural Design Guidelines for Thin Layer Concrete. Some of the documents that SANRAL have prepared draft documents. They're out for comment and circulation. some of these documents are out already. TMH1, standard methods of testing construction, road construction materials, TRH12, flexible pavement, rehabilitated investigation and design. That's basically the internal review process at the moment. And then standard survey methods, which is TMH11. And then the big project is the South African pavement design method, which is being reviewed using a new design technology. They have a dedicated website, sapdm.co.za. All the details of the project is on the website, and the documents that are currently out for comment, etc., can be found on that website. And then the documents that have been circulated internally, engineering service contributions, road classification and access management manual, South African trip data manual, South African engineering service contribution manual for municipal road infrastructure. So those are very important documents that are out there for comment. Once they've been reviewed internally and updated, then there will be an open workshop. All interested parties will be invited to that workshop where they'll be briefed about these documents. These are more documents that have been updated and produced by SANRAL, South African Traffic Impact and Site Traffic Assessment Manual, National Guidelines for Services and Road Reserves in South Africa, which is something that is very important and we need that. So that document is not yet out for review internally. Once it's out, it will be reviewed internally and then the normal processes will follow. In terms of documents or standards that are out there related to quality, you've got the SANS 9000, SANS 9001, SANS 9004, and then on the international front, ISO 39001, Road Traffic Safety Management System. That's a document that's been produced, probably be published 2011 or 2012. This is a very broad document. It will relate. It will be applicable to companies like SANRAL, the road departments, the Road Traffic Management Corporation, law enforcement agencies, even the truck operators, truck manufacturers, trailer manufacturers. So this document is work in progress. So it's Road Traffic Safety Management Systems. So we are participating through the South African Bureau of Standards to make inputs into that document. Once it's published, it'll be published as ISO 39001, and it'll be adopted in South Africa. And then we will start the process of trying to promote the use of that document. Now, the other part of the briefing was to speak on penalties. So it's very difficult sitting at the DOT to get into the details of penalties because we're not working directly with, we're not managing tenders directly. These are being managed directly by the different municipal road departments or the provincial road departments and the road agency. But how are penalties and when are they imposed? Well, firstly, they're guided by the PFMA and the MFMA. And earlier on, I showed you a slide there which was titled "The General Conditions of Contracts for Civil Engineering Roads and Bridge Work." So these documents, they give guidance. Then in addition to that, every tender that is issued has a special provisions and conditions of contract. So these documents will specify the deliverables, and if you cannot make those deliverables, what are the penalties and how it's going to be calculated and imposed. And then you also have a lot of contracts now are performance-based contracts. So contractors are paid based on the, achieving certain levels of performance and to standards. So the penalties are guided by these principles here. In terms of the challenges that facing the sector, there's a shortage of technical capacity both in government and the private sector. You'll find that these documents that are being developed, you have to have been around to know how to put these documents together. And that's a bit of a problem. skills. There's a big age gap between the young engineers and the old engineers. So we need to build capacity, and that's where the bodies like CSIR and Agreement SA, South African Bureau of Standards, that's where we're looking at them to revive all these processes so that the capacity can be built to develop standards. Because earlier on I showed you a slide there, and I deliberately put a slide there which shows the dates of when these standards were last revised. Those documents last revised 1994, 1998, 1993, 1969, 2009, 1994. So it is a challenge and it's an area of concern. Now, one of the reasons why we've come to the situation is many years ago, there was a major restructuring at the Department of Transport, and a lot of agencies were formed, and there was a lack of investment and a lack of dedicated resources that were allocated for the continuing update of these manuals. Now, the SANRAL and the industry associations have partly been filling this gap, limited by their own space and capacity and resources. So, fortunately, these organizations have been active in this kind of work, so but still there's a gap there. And now with the introduction of the roads maintenance grant, the DORA bill states that the department is expected to revive this process and keep all these guidelines and standards up to date. One of the questions you raised earlier on, to speak briefly about what are we planning to do about this grant. So the road maintenance grant becomes effective 1st April 2011. And the strategy to the DOT, or the concept document that is on the table, is the Samba Sonke document, which literally translated means let's walk together or let's do things together. So the DOT intends to form strategic partnership with the provinces, Department of Public Works, so that we can address the most important issue that the document talks to is addressing road maintenance and arresting the deterioration of the road network, improving and upgrading access roads, introduction of asset management systems for the road sector, optimizing job creation opportunities through projects based on EPWP or expanded public work principles, contractor development, and safety. So the DOT will be issuing out guidelines to the provinces to revisit the existing infrastructure plans so that it's in line with the Samba Sonke documents. Now, over and above those guidelines, the Department of Public Works, they already have existing expanded public work guidelines. So these guidelines are out there that are used by the road authorities on how to identify and select projects to maximize the principles of EPWP. And over and above the guidelines, the DPWP has a roads unit within the structure that goes out and gives guidance and support to the roads departments in selecting and identifying the projects right from planning, design, and implementation phase. So that is the presentation I have for this morning. Thank you, Chairperson.
any road maintenance and job creation and potholes need to be accredited. They will cover the methodology, and then I will make a second, do the second part of the presentation that speaks to the expanded public works program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues. As my colleague has indicated, we'll then proceed, Honorable Chairperson, to deal with the subject matter, road maintenance, job creation, and potholes. Would like to submit for your consideration, Chair, that our premise in this debate is that the Department of Public Works obviously is the custodian of the construction industry of South Africa. Inherently, part and parcel of the responsibility that it has is to ensure that as we regulate, provide leadership to the construction industry, we also empower those emerging contractors through a program that we call the National Contractor Development Program, which we pursue in partnership with the Construction Industry Development Board. But we also ensure that as we do so, the labor-intensive methods of constructions are embedded in whatever asset that we construct as a state. We'd like to propose this is our premise when debating the subject matter. Honorable Chairperson, will deal with the issue of the road maintenance, job creation, and potholes. We'll reflect briefly on methodology, and then my colleague, the DDG, PWP, will then deal with the collaboration that we have with our colleagues in the Department of Transport. It is important that we indicate that the department is not per se a road authority. However, it accounts for roads that are within its custodianship. These roads include, amongst others, the low traffic volume within the military bases, in prisons, and roads in other national government facilities. The road-related services of the department appoints when doing these road-related services. We then appoint qualified and experienced civil engineers to carry out the design and the documentation. When we do this appointment, Honorable Chairperson, we do insist in ensuring that also emerging or candidate engineers, majority of whom are coming from historically disadvantaged communities, are appointed also to be mentored by these well-qualified, experienced engineers. In the recent past, the Minister of Public Works has issued a call to say that all candidate engineers, retired professionals, should submit their documentation to the department so that we then formulate a national database of professionals so as to assist these emerging engineers, project managers, and all the scarce skills in the built environment. Once these documentations and designs are prepared, the department will then review the design parameters by the engineer. This is to ensure that there is no over-design and under-design, but also to ensure that the cost-effectiveness of the design solution proposed is consistent with the guidelines, which includes but it is not limited to the technical recommendations of highways by the Department of Transport and the technical methods for highways, which our colleague from Department of Transport has spoken of. Honorable Chairperson and members, just to describe the Department of Public Works approach to the pothole repairs, we take a view that the pothole repairs in South Africa should be seen as a catalyst for job creation, whilst assisting municipalities with the maintenance backlog on potholes. These are the twin tasks that defines our approach to dealing with the potholes repairs. On the one hand, we create jobs. On the other hand, we ensure that we assist municipalities on their maintenance backlog. The Department of Public Works sought the technical support from CSIR adopted the guidelines that are issued by CSIR of classifications of various potholes formations and the repair approach. In terms of compliance with existing guidelines, the colleagues from CSIR might deal with this thing in detail, but we ensure that for an example, when we do repair potholes, you do the saw cutting of the pothole to rectangular shapes, the preparing of the base material, the backfilling, compaction per layers, and the sealing of the surface, and so forth and so forth. In the absence of the specifications of material, or rather of the accredited material, Biagrima SA is a responsible entity. All the material that is going to be used in this pothole program will strictly be in compliance with the technical regulations for highways as issued and the technical methods of highways issued by the Department of Transport. Which means that every engineer that will then appoint will give approval of the material before application by the contractor. On the matter of quality assurance, all material that will be used by the contractor that will appoint will have a manufacturing certificate outlining material composition, and the engineer will have to approve the use of material before application. The consultant resident engineer will be on site on a full-time basis to ensure that compliance to specifications materialize. The department will randomly conduct tests on completed repairs. We've extended an invitation to officials, or rather the officials within the department have attended a CSIR induction seminar on potholes repair. Already the Tshwane Metro Municipality, where we're going to be launching the program, and the Joburg Road Agents have committed their own internal engineers to also conduct quality inspections. When problems are identified, they will communicate their findings to the Department of Public Works, who will then address the issue with the engineer's consent. Therefore, both the department and road agencies will have regular site meetings to discuss progress on contractual issues. On the matter of the guarantee period, honorable members, all repair works of this potholes program that we're starting will have a 12-month guarantee period. The department will retain a sum equal to 10% of the contract value as retention. Within the period of contractor will make good all defective work on her cost or on his cost before the contractor leaves on site. We also took a view that every pothole identified and repaired will have an identity. The example of this is a GPS coordinates failure to repair the works. The department will appoint alternative contractor and levy the cost from the defaulting contractor. The point, Honorable Chairperson, that you've made, that you do have a number of people who say they want to repair potholes. They repair it after 2 weeks. It resurfaces because they've made money from government. They disappear. So we are ensuring that within the specification and the contract we enter into with the contractor, in the event of defaulting, the penalties will be imposed against us contractor and the cost of the recovery from the defaulting contractor. Just to reflect on the methodology that we are going to be using, Honorable Chairperson, this is the potholes program that was announced by Minister of Public Works. It has been embraced by the entire community of public works, which includes all your provinces. We must at this point indicate that, for an example, you do have public works constitutional in terms of Chapter 4, is a concurrent function between national government and provincial government. To that extent, you do have in certain provinces the Department of Public Works, Roads, and Transport. So public works is just but one function executed by one department, which also executes transport and so forth. In Gauteng, you've got the Department of Infrastructure. So the entire potholes repair program has been carried out or is going to be carried out by all the provincial Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport, National Department of Public Works, and so forth and so forth. The methodology that we are using, also look at the key outcomes relevant to the DPW as per the performance agreement signed by the Minister of Public Works and the President, captured in the medium-term strategic framework in terms of improving economic growth through inclusive economy and so forth and so forth. Furthermore, on the matter of methodology, we will be appointing 8 contractors per metro. We'll also be appointing, depending on the geographic circumstances of a district metro, appoint between 8 and 12 contractors per district metro. Depending on the geographic circumstances of a local municipality and so forth, there's also a possibility to increase that, depending on how poor a local municipality is and so forth and so forth. We're employing 400 beneficiaries, 400 unemployed young people. For example, we say to a local municipality, we would like you to give us 400 unemployed people. We will pay for these 400 unemployed young people. They will be trained through the CSIR minimum guidelines. The metrics that we are using in terms of EPWP guidelines, we will pay a beneficiary 90 rands per day. They will be working for 12 days in a month, and they'll be working for 6 months in a year. So the metric is 90 multiplied by 12 multiplied by 6. It is an equivalent of 1,080 rands per month, an equivalent of 6,480. We're allocating 150 million in the first phase on this program. 50% of these 150 will be allocated for compensation of those unemployed young people. And then the other 50% will be used for purposes of procuring material. With this calculation, Honorable Chairperson, and linked to the second topic of job creation, if, for example, you have got 6 metros in the country, you employ 400 unemployed people per metro, already you have created 2,400 job opportunities just on metros. I have not included district metros. I have not included local municipalities. Our calculations, if you are looking at metros, employing 200 per district metros and so forth and so forth, you are looking at in the next financial year, 2011-2012, the creation of about 11,000 job opportunities only through this particular program. To be consistent with this point that it is one thing to talk about repair infrastructure, it is yet another thing, but a fundamental thing to say as you do so, you need to ensure that you create job opportunities for unemployed, skills development and so forth and so forth. And just to also reflect on the stipend determination metrics, it is a commitment to appoint 400 beneficiaries per metro. The case study that we have conducted, Honorable Chairperson, is that the allocation of beneficiaries is that for every 1 kilometer of road that you fix in terms of the potholes, that translates to the creation of 2 work opportunities. And that is why we then took a decision to say we'll take the stipend at 90 rands per month and so forth and so forth. Per day, I'm saying 90 rands per day. What does this mean? This is a point that I've made, Honorable Chairperson. That the costing of 2,400 work opportunities for 6 metros, I'm making metros as an example, to say that it is not the same thing as saying we'll only focus on the metros. We'll also focus on districts, we'll also focus on local municipalities. The deduction of these is that you would then pay 6,480 income per beneficiary multiplied by 400 beneficiaries. This will translate to 2.5 million that you'll spend for all the metros. It also translates in totality to 15.5 million only with respect to the stipends. Then if you multiply that by 2, because the other 50% of 150 million you'll use for the purposes of procuring material. NWP guidelines, 100 days of guaranteed work in a year, which is sometimes called a full-time equivalent. So instead of a person working for 4 months or 6 months, a person can actually work for the year in terms of the budget that we've calculated vis-a-vis consistency with the EPWP minimum standards. Chairperson, on this point, I will then, should you concur, request my colleague, DDG EPWP, to then proceed on the collaboration with the Department of Transport. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members. Just some brief background regarding the EPWP and the, because it's direct link obviously with regard to what my colleague has shared with us now. The main objective of the EPWP is to draw poor unemployed people into the world of work. And we work across different sectors, namely infrastructure sector, social sector, environment, culture, and then non-state sector also. But it will not dwell on the others. The purpose why we have been called or invited to this portfolio committee was to share our how we link up with the portfolio committee's area of oversight, I suppose. And we would like to put to the committee that we have been working closely with the National Department of Transport to ensure that work opportunities are optimized and maximized on the construction and maintenance of access roads. And this is through our labor intensive construction program. My colleague has mentioned that there we have very clear guidelines, what we call the Code of Good Practice. Because the Code of Good Practice says we have, as government, we have to take away the machines as far as we possibly can so that we can draw poor unemployed people into the world of work. And that is our consistent approach in our engagement with the National Department of Transport as well as with the provincial departments of transport and the municipalities also. And our colleague from transport, yes, made that point also. So there's a joint committee that's co-chaired by both these departments, and it monitors the progress with regard to EPWP work on access roads on a quarterly basis. The quarterly meeting is also attended by our provincial roads departments, and they give presentation of the progress with regard to the projects. The funding of the access roads was through the infrastructure grant to provinces, and we know that with the road maintenance fund, obviously it will be some funding country, and the IGP would be moving over that, and we will keep a close watch tab on that too, because our approach is that nothing that government departments are doing should be done in a way other than to focus on the creation of work opportunities. 3 billion rand was ring fenced for EPWP access roads in 2007, MTF, and 8.3 was further approved from in the 2010 MTF. We're giving you work for 2 days per week, which roughly amounts to 100 days, 100% days of work per annum. And we have seen some remarkable successes in this regard. As a matter of fact, the women themselves, they have formed saving groups, and they have taken the work even beyond impact now that was much broader than just the maintenance of the roads. We have seen that where you have this, the advantage of this program, the main benefit of this is that poor households, they have 2 days of regular work per week, and this regularity and predictability then will allow them to actually become engaged in other activities. But they know, for instance, on a Monday and a Thursday, that's the road maintenance program, and they fill up potholes on the rural roads, as well as cleaning the culverts, etc. The Northwest in Limpopo, they are currently making plans to replicate this program also. In terms of our approach forward with regard to all road players present here today would be that we have to maximize labor-intensive construction methods. We have received a fair amount of resistance during phase one of the expanded public works program, and we are currently in phase two of the program. And the approach is, if the target for the expanded public works program is to create 4.5 million work opportunities by 2040, and the infrastructure sector commands the biggest budgets, and we have seen the amounts